Good evening. This evening, we're thinking about the third and final theme in our three-part Tuesday evening coronavirus mini-series. First, we looked at how to love your neighbour. Then we looked at how to be wise. And now, today, we're going to think about how to not be afraid. So let's start with reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. So I want to start today by thinking about verse 15. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear." So Paul clearly thinks it is a danger for Christians that you and I might turn back to our old way of thinking, and that will lead us to slavery and fear. But you and I need not do that, because we've been set free by a spirit of sonship and are children of God, as verse 16 says. So let's live in that freedom and not be afraid. Now on that basis, I'm going to make two points today. First, there's lots of things going on in the world around you and me that at this moment we might be afraid of. But you don't need to fear them if you belong to Christ. Don't be afraid. Second, turn to Christ and trust him, because he has adopted you as a child of God for all eternity. Whatever happens, even if you get coronavirus, you will still remain God's child. So trust in Jesus, because Jesus has set you free. And you should live in that freedom. So the first point, don't be afraid. Maybe you're thinking, it's all very well saying don't be afraid, but we have coronavirus, we have a crisis in this country, in fact in the world, and it's changed our lives. Even the Prime Minister's very ill with it. And if we stop to think for a moment about how our lives have changed, at least humanly speaking, there's plenty of reasons to be fearful. First, some of you are at work on the front line in the NHS trying to treat people who have coronavirus, or COVID-19. You know, coming into contact with these patients and putting yourselves at risk, real risk, daily. Now, I don't know what you think about that context. Maybe there isn't actually that much time to be afraid, but there's plenty of reason to worry, especially when we seem to be short of PPE in hospitals. Then there's the rest of us. Some of us have friends and relatives who have been taken ill or even died of the coronavirus, of COVID-19. So now this thing that seemed like some distant news story only a few weeks ago, it's now a fearful reality for us. We fear for our friends and relatives, or we fear for ourselves because we have underlying health issues. You know, we fear getting ill or others getting ill near us. And adding to that, most of us are at home pretty much all the time, apart from in very particular circumstances, so we've got more time to worry and fear than normal. But there are other reasons to be afraid too. Some of you are worried that your businesses will collapse or that you'll lose your jobs because you can't work anymore. Perhaps you fear an uncertain future where you don't know when you'll be able to return to work. And you don't know if you'll have enough money to last out this crisis. And the picture we see on the news only corroborates all of that. The picture is a disturbing one, a fearful one. All over the world, thousands of people are dying. In several countries, doctors are having to choose which patients to treat based on who is more likely to survive. Here in the UK, our Prime Minister, as I said earlier, is gravely ill with the coronavirus, and we do not know if or when he'll be able to return to work. When you see that the Prime Minister is in intensive care, it's difficult to distance yourself from this virus in quite the same way as we were all doing just a bit earlier. It's no longer a small group of people who have underlying health conditions that are at risk. Actually, no one is totally safe from this. So what else are people afraid of at the moment? What other fearful things are there on the news? Well, people are, for good reason, afraid that the NHS won't cope with the number of people who need ventilators. People are also afraid that they or their loved ones might die in isolation, away from family and relatives. There are a lot of nightmarish things connected with this virus. Speaking from a normal, human point of view, there's plenty to be afraid of, even if this isn't as bad as the bubonic plague or something like that. We, as a country, haven't suffered something like this in many years, not in my lifetime, and not even in my parents' lifetime. So what are we supposed to do about this? How can I stand here and say, don't be afraid? Well, we'll unpack the Romans 8 passage and its answers to that question in just a minute. But now it might be worth taking time to look at what Christians have done in the past. In fact, many generations of Christians have had to deal with plagues much more severe than coronavirus. So we have things to learn from them. Martin Luther had to deal with an outbreak of the bubonic plague in Wittenberg in 1527. It's quite long, but I would really recommend reading the letter he wrote to a friend about this, called Whether One Should Flee from a Deadly Plague. It gives quite a lot of helpful reflections. And the two ways he tells us we shouldn't respond in times of plague are first with fear and second with foolhardiness. Luther writes about fear, that this is what the devil wants to achieve in our hearts in times of the plague. He says he not only unceasingly tries to slay and kill, but also takes delight in making us deathly afraid, worried, and apprehensive so that we should regard dying as horrible and have no rest or peace all through our life. And so the devil would excrete us out of this life as he tries to make us despair of God, become unwilling and unprepared to die, and under the stormy and dark sky of fear and anxiety, make us forget and lose Christ, our light and life, and desert our neighbour in his troubles. What Luther is talking about is what Paul calls the spirit of slavery in Romans 8, verse 15. If you and I forget our identity in Christ and forget that death no longer has any hold over us, then of course death and sicknesses like the coronavirus become extremely fearful for us. So let's not forget Christ, our light and life, and let's not desert our neighbour in his or her troubles. But then don't be foolhardy either. Luther writes that others who make a show of not being afraid are much too rash and reckless, tempting God and disregarding everything which might counteract death and the plague. They disdain the use of medicines. They do not avoid places and persons infected by the plague, but lightheartedly make sport of it and wish to prove how independent they are. You know, they lick the tins in Tesco's to make a point, have barbecues in the park, visit their elderly relatives when they've been told not to. But you see, Luther cites the deuterocanonical book Ecclesiasticus, which says in chapter 3, verse 26, whoever loves danger will perish by it. So, says Luther, we should neither be afraid nor foolhardy, but we should do what the Spirit of God is calling us to do. We should be led by the Spirit of God, as verse 14 of today's passage also puts it. Christians should minister to the sick where it's required, but should not put themselves in unnecessary danger. The Holy Spirit is not a spirit of fear, but neither does it lead us into foolhardiness. We should care for our neighbour. Luther talks about Jesus' reproach in Matthew 25, verse 43. I was sick and you did not visit me. And he says, let's not let God's punishment come on us for our cowardliness. but we should be wise too. We should not put our neighbour in danger of being infected. In COVID-19 times, this means bringing food and medicine to those who need it and phoning up the lonely, but not physically visiting people. The Spirit is always speaking to us, if only we'd listen, and he's constantly leading us with wise guidance. Even if the best thing is that we stay away in order not to infect ourselves or others, then we can still be in touch with others over the phone or Zoom, supporting them in whatever way we can. And that might well be what the Spirit is leading us to do now. So we kind of understand now that we shouldn't be afraid. But how can we avoid getting afraid? I mean, even if we know we shouldn't, it's not normally something we choose. It's an involuntary reaction to a set of circumstances. It's not like I woke up this morning and decided just to sin by being afraid. You know, the answer is in being led by the Spirit of God, not the spirit of slavery, following Romans 8, verse 15. If we have a spirit of slavery, then it's because there's something wrong in our relationship with God, a sort of disconnect, and we've lost touch with our identity as children of God. Now, slavery was a pretty common thing in Paul's world. The first readers of his letter to the Romans would have known quite a lot about slavery. Slaves were often people who'd been captured when the Romans took over new nations. They'd lost touch with their homeland and with their relatives, and slavery wasn't nice. Perhaps the best a slave could hope for would be to have a kind master, which wasn't necessarily all that common. Not a lot of nice things happened to slaves. They were occasionally made into freedmen, perhaps even became Roman citizens, but it was rare and difficult. And this is an important point because, generally speaking, if you were a slave, then you couldn't just become free. Someone else had to make you free. You couldn't easily re-establish a meaningful identity in society. And here, Paul is saying that we were slaves, and it wasn't nice. Slaves in the sense that we'd lost touch with the God who created us through our rejection of his commands. So we'd also lost touch with our true identity. Only we're, of course, to blame for our slavery. And the only way that identity can be re-established is if God chooses to help us. Now, the good news is that Jesus has come into our lives and set us free. Jesus has set us free from sin by his death on the cross. He has re-established our identity as children of God. And because of that, he's set us free from fear and death. We couldn't set ourselves free from these things. Only Jesus, as the Son of God, could do this. But he has done this, so our response is to praise the Lord and gratefully accept this newfound freedom. As we trust in him and follow him, we come to see that we have now been set free from sin, death, and the devil, and all the fears connected with those things. You know, life is often a fearful thing, even without coronavirus. We get afraid of what others think of us, especially our bosses and colleagues at work. We get afraid that we'll lose our jobs. We're afraid we'll get sick or that our children will do something very unwise with their lives. Most of all, we get afraid of things that challenge the reasons we have made for ourselves to live. If I live for the well-being of my family, if that's the centre of everything that I am, then I'm afraid of anything that threatens my family. If I live for my job and make that the centre of everything I am, I'm deeply afraid of anything that threatens my job. If I live for ministry in the church, and that's absolutely at the centre of everything I am, then I get afraid of something that might threaten that. Now, these fears come about without the help of coronavirus. But the thing about coronavirus is that it threatens all those things and more, and calls our reasons for living into question in a more acute way. It forces us to make sense of our lives all over again. And that can be very difficult. But you know, ultimately, there is only one reason to live that satisfies, and that is to glorify God. That's why the Bible tells us the only fear we should have is a fear of God. You and I need to take God totally seriously, with total respect. If we do that, then all those things will be put in perspective, all those other things that we feel tempted to put at the centre. All our other fears will no longer be fears. Yes, they may be important things, but ultimately they're only important because God gives them importance, not because we do. God calls us to look after our families, work hard and responsibly, and be his witnesses here on earth. But these things are only important because God makes them important. And something like the coronavirus forces us to go back to God himself and place our trust only in him. It tears down our idols, no matter how subtle they may be. So let's, all of us, turn to God, trust in him alone, fear him alone, and know that he's really set us free from the spirit of slavery that wants to keep turning us back to our idols. If we do that, then the Spirit of God will lead us. It will give us foundations in difficult times and help us to understand what to do. It will help us see how to avoid fear and foolhardiness. Instead, it will lead us to act wisely in response to the crisis we see around us at the moment. You see, because Jesus has brought us back from slavery, we now have a new master, the kindest master of all, one who no longer treats us as slaves at all, but one who has adopted us as children. Under our old masters, we were captive to sinful thoughts and deeds, things that would only destroy us. But now we have real hope, a reason to live, because Jesus has shown us our true identity. In fact, he's re-established our true identity. And in Jesus, we can see for ourselves God's true identity. When we lived with a spirit of slavery, the world seemed capricious, whimsical, and scary. Things like COVID-19 just seemed like another meaningless example of human suffering in a long list of terrors that the human race has faced in its ultimately purposeless history. But when we see that Jesus has set us free and made possible our adoption as children of God, life is no longer meaningless, and although the sufferings of this world are still difficult, we know that God is sovereign over them, and even he has participated in them and somehow made sense of them at the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid. There's no reason to be afraid if you've placed your trust in Jesus Christ, if you belong to him. Don't be foolhardy either, but instead be led by the Spirit of God, which is also the Spirit of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of wisdom. Second, turn to Christ and trust him, because he's adopted you as a child of God for all eternity. Whatever happens, even if you get coronavirus, you will still remain God's child. So trust in Jesus, because Jesus has set you free and given you a new eternal hope. So you should live in that freedom. Now, this is a great hope. In fact, it's such a great eternal hope that it's very difficult for us to get our minds around it. This hope is based on the true nature of the God we know, not as a whimsical and capricious being, uninterested in our lives and struggles, but as a loving and merciful God who sent his Son to die for us. Romans 8 verse 12 says that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in fact, because Jesus took all the punishment for our sin and rebellion against God on the cross, then we're no longer debtors. We're no longer slaves. No longer slaves or debtors to the flesh at work in us. You see, the thing is that all things of the flesh are only temporary. But the hope that we have in Christ is from God and it's eternal. In this life, we can hope for all sorts of things. They're not necessarily bad things. And those hopes can change the way we live our lives. Of course, they can turn into idols, but they don't necessarily have to. We can hope to get married, so we end up moving to live near a church or take up a job where there's lots of young single people. Or we hope to get a good job, so we try to get onto a good university course and spend time trying to fine-tune job applications. That's human nature. And you know what, this kind of thing can be most clearly seen in children. You know, children will eat their dinner if you promise them that they're going to get ice cream afterwards. The hope of something creamy, cold and sweet helps them to focus on the task at hand, their dinner. But all those hopes will pass away. There will come a time when the ice cream tub is finished. There will come a time when we leave that work, either because we move on, get sacked, or retire. There will come a time when that spouse that we loved and married will be separated us from by death. Yes, some of these hopes are big ones, and their fulfillment is important. And it's also what God intended for us. But at the same time, they can only point to a much greater hope that does not pass away. And that hope is in our adoption as the children of God. That hope is the one truly eternal hope that we can have. The hope that will outlast our lives and outlast this world itself. But to enter into that hope, we need to put to death the deeds of the body, as Romans 8 verse 13 puts it. Those deeds live on in us, in those things that we do that are not honouring to God. Those habits we can't seem to get rid of. Those idolatrous hopes that keep coming back and changing the course of our lives for the worse. Putting to death the deeds of the body isn't just difficult, it's impossible without God's help. But God has sent us his Spirit to help us. It's this Spirit that leads us away from fear. It's this Spirit that leads us to love God and love one another. And as John 4 verse 18 says, perfect love casts out fear. It's by this Spirit of love that we're no longer slaves, but truly alive as the children of God. If we're led by this Spirit, then we live in true freedom. It's by his unimaginable love for us that God came into our lives, bought us through the death of his Son, and sent his Spirit to set us free. Now, in the Roman Empire, I'm sure plenty of slaves were afraid of their masters, afraid even to come near them without being called first. But children could run up to their parents at any time. They could run up to their father and say, Abba, Father. Just like Paul says you and I can do here in Romans 8 verse 15, with our Father in heaven. Because Jesus has re-established our identity and made us, adopted us as children. As children we have hope. As slaves we have no hope. As children we have a true and meaningful God-given identity. As slaves we're nobodies. Augustine, in the 5th century, commenting on this verse, Romans 8 verse 15, said that the fear of slaves contains no love, only the fear of damnation, but the cry of sons is Abba Father. It's a cry that rests on our identity as children. You see, God has given us a new identity through Jesus Christ and revealed that identity to us through what we read in Scripture. And the Spirit at work in us witnesses to this new identity of ours. So if we haven't understood that Jesus has set us free for eternal life as children of God, let's recognize that. If we haven't placed our trust in him, let's do it now. If we haven't prayed for the Spirit to work in us, leading us into freedom, let's do that too. Let's pray for the Spirit to come into our lives, lead us, help us, and make clear our true identity. Before finishing, though, let's just say something about Romans 8, verse 17. This verse says that we are heirs of God, fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. And maybe this talk of suffering seems a bit of a letdown after what Paul has said immediately beforehand. But it's a statement of the fallen reality that we still live in, even as Christians who are no longer slaves. It isn't totally clear what Paul is talking about here when he says we should suffer with Jesus. But he could be talking about the harsh realities of living as a Christian in the Roman Empire in the first century. The threat of persecution and death was never far away. In the ancient world, all people suffered plagues similarly, but Christians were often persecuted in addition to that. And for us as 21st century Christians here in Manchester, suffering is still part of the reality of life, even though we do know Christ. In fact, I'm sure that many of you will be able to testify to the fact that sometimes suffering even seems to increase rather than decrease after we come to know Jesus. The final verse of today's passage, verse 17, even promises that we will have to suffer if we're adopted as children of God. And that's not a comfortable promise. It's not a promise I like. The promise is that even if we live as the adopted children of God, then we will end up suffering. That suffering might not be the coronavirus, but whatever it is, it won't be nice. Even in the current crisis, you know, we may still suffer. We might still get COVID-19. Our relatives might get it. But even if the worst happens, you know what? We still have no reason to fear. And the reason we have nothing to fear is that our adoption as children of God is an adoption that's been fully achieved at and through the cross of Christ. Jesus defeated death on the cross. So actually, he's defeated all of the devil's schemes. He's defeated all of our sin. He's defeated death. At the end of the day, he's defeated COVID-19. And the worst that COVID-19 can do to us, all we need to do is trust him and be led by the Spirit. This victory, this adoption, lasts for eternity. The paperwork has been done, so to speak. And not only that, but this paperwork can't be lost. We can't be unadopted. And no one can ever dispute our adoption as children of God. And because we now have eternal significance and meaning, eternal identity as God's children, we have nothing to fear. This makes our suffering meaningful, because we can look forward to the eternal hope that lies beyond it. Commenting on Romans 8, verse 17, Cyril, 5th century bishop of Alexandria, writes, "Good works can hardly be done without suffering, yet the suffering of the saints is nourished by a great hope. For nothing earthly is promised, but rather eternal glory." So to sum up, first, there's lots of things going on in the world around you and me at the moment that we might be afraid of. But you don't need to fear them if you belong to Christ. Don't be afraid. Second, turn to Christ and trust him, because he has adopted you as God's children for all eternity. Whatever happens, you will still remain God's child if you've placed your faith in Jesus. Even if we pass away, all our hopes pass away and the world itself passes away. Our eternal hope of glory with Christ will not pass away. At the end of all the suffering this world can throw at us, you'll be received into eternal glory together with the risen Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you for the fact that you died on a cross to save us. We thank you for the fact that you gave us a new hope that we can only imagine. Lord, I pray that you would help us to look forward to that hope that we have in the future, to look forward to our eternal glory with you in heaven, with you, Lord, and know that actually there's no reason to be afraid of coronavirus. There's no reason to be afraid of all of these different things that we fear in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would give us peace, that you would give us your peace that passes all understanding as we move forward into this week. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to know.